You know, there's only one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that, and I think there's no other way. I don't think you can bypass him. I did hear about a woman who went to the pearly gates, and St. Peter was there, and she had lived a fairly good life on earth and trusted the Lord, but she got there, and she had met her death here on earth, and she asked St. Peter, says, I want to come in and be with y'all forever. And he said, well, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. So I want you to spell a word. Spell love for me. And she said, L-O-V-E. He said, come right on in. Says, you will enjoy this forever, being with all these wonderful people and with Christ. And so he trusted this lady enough. She was a good worker and did a lot of good things there, that he left her in charge of the pearly gates one day. And who should show up but her husband? He said, honey, I'm so glad to see you. She said, well, what happened? How have you been doing? He said, well, you know that wonderful nurse that was so good looking that took care of you? I married her, bought her a new home, a new diamond, carried her to Cancun. We had a wonderful life together, and I fell this week and bumped my head, and it turned out to be more serious than I thought, and I'm here now, so I want to come in and be with all of y'all. And he said, what do I do to get in? And she says, well, you're going to have to just spell one word to get in. And he says, okay, what is that word? She said, Czechoslovakia. We're going to speak for the next few weeks on praying. I don't know how long, several weeks. I heard some good sermons when I was out, but none any better than what Matt did right here. I kind of became a constant watcher of John Hagee, and I like him a lot, and Charles Stanley, and really have fallen in love with the preaching of Michael Youssef, if you've ever heard him. Very, very good preacher. And all those are good, but they don't replace being at church. But I was glad to hear some good sermons there. But I will encourage you, when you go home this evening, if you find In Touch with Charles Stanley, please watch that trio sing I'm Free. I'm Free, Praise the Lord, I'm Free. What a beautiful song and number they did on that this morning. And they'll be on Charles Stanley sometime this afternoon if you'd like to watch it this evening. But we want to look at prayer. We are here today because people from 179 years ago till today have been praying for this church and this community and for us to be here and work together and love one another. And certainly there have been bumps in the road, but over 179 years, that's a pretty good number for a church. And we're here because people were praying. One of the first things probably that you should ask after you become a Christian, or someone should tell you, is what do I do now that I'm a Christian? And the number one thing I think you should do is pray. Also read the Bible. There's some many great prayers in the Bible. But praying is an important part of the Christian life. Now, I'm mighty afraid, and I include myself in this, that a lot of our prayer life sometimes seems to be misfiring. A misfiring gun will not do you one bit of good. It means that it just didn't work like it was supposed to. And our prayer life doesn't work like it's supposed to because we do not put into it what we should. We don't make time for it like we should. We don't have that personal time with Christ like we should. We don't read His Word like we should. And so I want to work on the next few weeks prayer and what a vital part it can be of your life. And especially we're going to look at transformational prayer, which is a wonderful book written by Daniel Henderson. I would certainly advise buying it. I wrote him and asked him for some material on that because I would like to preach on it. And he sent me the whole course, so you can't beat that. He is a wonderful professor from Liberty University, and he is working on now transformational prayer, that prayer where you feel as if you're in the very presence of God Himself, as if you opened your eyes and looked and there was God right in front of you, that kind of close relationship and prayer. And that's what I want. Now, not every prayer will be like that. You know, sometimes I prayed and it felt like that. And sometimes I prayed and it felt like God was so far away. And I'm sure that's happened to you too. But we want to look at what prayer can do for us and how we can get that vital relationship with the Lord through prayer. Now, Dr. A.C. Dixon was a great expositor of the Word of God for many years. And here's what he says. If you depend on organizations, you'll get what organizations can do. If you depend upon education, you'll get what education can do. If you depend on money, you'll get what money can do. If you depend on singing and preaching, you'll get what singing and preaching can do. But if you depend on prayer, you'll get what God can do. That's where I want to be at, to get what God can do in my life and in yours. Let me ask you some questions this morning to kind of bring this home. And I've asked myself these same questions. I'm not leaving myself out. But how often do you pray? Never? Occasionally? Weekly? Daily? Or many times a day? What type of things do you pray for? When a crisis comes up, or an emergency, and only then? Or an important issue? Or issues regarding your family? Or spiritual issues only, or almost everything. Describe your prayer life in one word. Is it non-existent? Is it boring? Is it frustrating? Or is it vibrant? And when you answer this question, what is the answer to it? I pray for mostly myself and my immediate family, friends and family, the world, the lost, or all of these. Now, when you answer those questions, they should hone in how your prayer life is and what you're doing with your prayer life. I want to begin with some fast facts about prayer from pollster George Barner. He said almost 90% of Americans pray. Over 60% of unchurched Americans pray. Of those unchurched Americans, 1 in 3 say that prayer makes a difference in their lives. Among those born again, they say that 70% of them says that God personally answers my prayers. But exactly how do Americans pray? Well, George Barner offers these insights. 95% express gratitude to God. 76% ask for forgiveness. 61% make specific requests, and 12% pray in tongues. Now, after you look at all this survey, there is some bad news about it. First of all, is that the Christians spend nearly 7 more times with entertainment issues than they do with prayer issues. So that is not very good news, is it? But there is some good news about it also, that those who do pray and pray regularly draw a closer personal relationship with God than they have ever had. However, the bad news part of that is they only put that as number 6 on their list of want-tos in the Christian life. And I think that ought to be the number 1 thing you want in the Christian life, to have a close personal relationship with the Lord. So, if I asked you today, how's your prayer life? Some of you will say, it depends. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it is difficult. There are days that we feel like we touch the very base of heaven with our prayers, and there are other days that we don't seem to get past the ceiling. But regardless of how you feel about prayer, if you want to know God better, there's no better way to do it than to pray. Did you know 1,400 verses of the Bible speak about prayer? If you want to grow spiritually, you've got to pray effectively. There is no shortcut to spiritual growth. It comes through prayer. Our greatest Christian privilege And I hate to say this, but at the same time, often our greatest Christian failure. We've heard a lot of talk about change in the last couple of years in this nation. Frankly, I can tell you, I don't like the way the nation has changed. But the only lasting and positive change that can occur for this nation is not going to come through Congress. It's not going to come through a president. It's not going to come through each state voting on something here or there and legislature introduced. The greatest change in America is only going to come when we have a spiritual revival in America. And the reason we haven't had a spiritual revival in America is simply because people aren't praying for a spiritual revival in America. Now, you want America to change? That's the change I want. That's the change I want to see for this nation, for our young people, for our churches, a great turning around so that we'll get our focus right on the things that God wants us to do. And stop depending on the government and start depending on God for something. You know, our liberties came as a basis of spiritual freedom. They were based on that. They weren't based on man-made rules. The founding fathers had, thank God, a lot more sense than some of our politicians today. They knew that their blessings and their successes came from God. Now, today we've turned our back on God. We've turned our back on His providence. We've tried to seek our own way, our own terms to run this nation. We've let materialism overshadow godliness, and selfishness has replaced generosity. We've become more concerned with the portfolio we can build up or what we can say about our lives than spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's not hopeless. It is not helpless. Real change is possible in America. But it will come through Christians who are willing to consecrate themselves to God in prayer for the spiritual state of this nation. You want real change? Then get involved with real prayer. It will happen when we repent as individual Christians, as a church, and as a nation. We will have a real spiritual change coming to this country. And then we can insist that America return to its roots, where we should be at, because that was where we had a great realization of our freedoms and how we got them. And it will happen when we decide to ask God to help us to choose godly men and women who fear the Lord to rule our nations. And you know, to a lot of people today, that is not important. And I cannot believe that to a Christian, that it's not important whether that person running for office is a strong and devout believer. To many people, they said, that doesn't matter. It matters to me. And if you're a Christian, it should matter to you. Now, let's take a look quickly at the privileges, possibilities, and provisions of prayer. First of all, let's look at it, privileges. In prayer, we experience the most intimate and powerful spiritual exercise known to humanity. In prayer, we have our secret struggles that we can bring to the Lord. Those frustrated feelings you can bring there. We can bring those murky motives with words to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us and pray as we really are and what our real thoughts are and where we're at and ask Him to change our lives and to let our lives be focused on the things that He would want them to be focused on, because He is an all-knowing, all-powerful God. In prayer, we have protection when we are vulnerable and experience security when we are unsure. And by the way, we need prayer to help us defend ourselves from Satan's attacks. Now, Satan has already been defeated. Satan's already been defeated. That which happened on Calvary defeated Satan. So what we need to do is pray for protection from his attacks, because he knows what's going to happen to him. His future is sealed up. You know why a lot of preachers and a lot of churches don't speak about Revelation today? The devil is working on them because he knows, you know what Revelation is all about? What's going to happen to him in the end, and it ain't good. So we need to be praying for the help from the Lord to defend ourselves against these battles that come our way. In prayer, we abide through intimate connection to the life-giving power of the risen Christ. Mercy's Well, the group that was here last year, and I hope again sometime this year, they have a big song now called The Power, and it talks about the resurrection power, and it talks about how that power is available to each of us, and that power comes out through prayer to the Lord, the risen Christ, who will share that power with us. In prayer, we trade our anxieties for the peace that passes all understanding. In prayer, we receive wisdom for these perplexities and issues of life that we just cannot understand. In prayer, we cast our burdens on the burden bearer, the one who's ready for us to cast our burdens there, and he will be glad to lift them from us that we might live for our good and his glory. In prayer, we have the desperate and lost people receiving mercy through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior and forgive them of their sins. In prayer, faith grows and grows and grows, and God's people arise to call on him boldly, boldly for immediate response and powerful responses to the issues that need to be looked at. In prayer, we have grace that becomes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that we need to live. Even when the problems that persist each day seem like there's no answer, the Lord is able to give you the grace. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee," and it comes through prayer. In prayer, we find power and perseverance to defeat Satan and to overcome his schemes that he aims at us, as I was just telling you about a while ago. And in prayer, we discover the beauty and the power of the intimacy that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to be our intimate friend, our close friend, closer even than a brother. What about the possibilities through prayer? In prayer, believers discover a level of trust and a unity of heart that is truly supernatural that you won't find here on earth. And it comes through perseverance. It comes through keeping on, keeping on in our prayer life. In prayer, we have families that receive grace, health, and persevering love to sacrifice and stay together in the most difficult times. In prayer, God prompts, God prepares, and God propels Christians to become actively engaged in the evangelistic endeavor to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ, including this nation. In prayer, leaders receive supernatural help to help them lead this nation in the right direction. In prayer, major revivals have come through prayer. They've been birthed through prayer. They have led to dramatic and lasting transformation to the times in which they were living and the people that were living in that time, because these people were willing to pray, to give their lives, to sacrifice for revival to come to the areas that they were in and this nation. In prayer, we receive boldness, we receive wisdom and opportunities to share the faith that we have with others. And in prayer, God works powerfully to bring glory, not to you and not to me, but to himself. Not through human efforts, but through human dependence on him for everything. And finally, there is provision that is beyond imagination. For prayer, Christ went to the cross, offering his life and his blood, demonstrating the price that he was willing to pay so that we could have transformational prayer and the privilege. For prayer, the temple veil was torn miraculously in two to demonstrate that now we have access to the Holy of Holies. You know, we preach a lot on Easter, the resurrection, the crucifixion. We often leave that part out about the splitting of the veil. But that was something powerful That was something unbelievable. The door was open where no one else could have gone but those high priests for us to go. We had access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we could come to Him. For prayer, sinful hearts are cleansed and become permanent temples where Jesus Christ can live. Yes, you know, your heart is Christ's home. Where does Christ live? In here. And you want to keep that heart clean. You want to keep your heart before Him in prayer, that it might be there where He can stay and not be cluttered up with all these things that clutter up our life so often. Jesus resides in our hearts. For prayer, Jesus now lives and makes perpetual intercession before His Father for you and your request and those things that you need from Almighty God. There, interceding for you constantly. What a blessing. And for prayer, the very Holy of Holies that I just talked to you about is now open how long? 9 to 6, 9 to 12 on Saturdays. Through prayer, the Holy of Holies was open and it is available to you 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you use that hotline to heaven, you're not going to get a busy signal. The Lord is ready to listen to you because He cared enough to die for you. You know, all these things, they're fascinating, and we take them so much for granted. Whatever prayer that you've ever prayed, word for word, have you ever thought of the power that that prayer can have when your prayer life is as it should be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if your prayers could be printed today, and each person would receive a copy of your prayers and my prayers, what would they see? What is the language of your heart? I can tell you two ways that I think people can learn to pray, and there are certainly many more. I'm just offering two. One way is you can learn to pray by listening to those who know how to pray. There are many people, I love to hear their prayers, and they teach me through how they pray and their dependence on prayer and their dedication to it. But yet another way you can learn how to pray is through reading the Bible and reading the great prayers of the Bible. There's so many great prayers that are there, and we'll go over some of them here in the next few weeks. And by doing these two things, you can learn a lot about how to make your prayer life more exciting, more vibrant, and have that close personal relationship that Jesus Christ wants you to have with Him. How wonderful it could be. I want to thank several people for sending me this yesterday because it was a wonderful way, I thought, to give me a closing for my sermon. And so thank you. I don't know who originated it, but thank you for sending it to me, you people that did. And that is that we have terrorist groups in the church today. You won't hear this from Homeland Security. The latest news, there are 5 terrorist cell groups operating in our churches. One of them is Ben Sleeping. Another one is Ben Arguing. Another one is Ben Fighting. Another one, a lot of people in this one, Ben Complaining. And finally, Ben Missing. Their leader is Lucifer Ben Working, training these groups to try their best to destroy the body of Christ, to come in disguised as Christians and do the work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. I know I went to a church one time at Myrtle Beach and sat down beside this woman, and she didn't know I was a preacher. I dressed very casually to go to church that Sunday, but I wanted to go. Heard a very good sermon. But the first thing she told me after she shook my hand and welcomed me, she says, "We've got the worst preacher. He's in trouble all the time. Don't understand a thing he says. Talks over our heads. Just causes us more problems." That's the first thing I heard when I sat down in that church. And I'll tell you right now, I listened to him and doggone, I thought he was pretty good myself. But that's discouraging. And you know, there's a lot of people like that. they will pat you on your back. And when you get away from them, they'll stab you in your back. But let me tell you, we've got another terrorist group in church, but this is a good terrorist group. It's the sixth group. It is a tiny group, but it's a group called Been Praying. And that is the only actual counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike other terrorist cells, the Been Praying team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Been Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. And we notice that the Been Praying group has a lot of different characteristics than the others. They've been watching, they've been waiting, they've been fasting, and they've been longing for their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to return. And I'll tell you, in my heart, my belief is, whether you want to believe it or not, but from what I've been listening to and reading over the past few weeks, I am more convinced than ever that the return of Jesus Christ is just around the corner. I believe He will soon return for His church. And the only way you'll be able to be caught up in that rapture is to be saved through His grace and mercy. And I believe, my friends, that's what we've been longing for. Aren't you tired of all this stuff happening on earth? And the Middle East is a mess now. And the nations surrounding Israel are in a mess. And I actually feel sorry for Israel. And I tell you, I am pro-Israel. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they do everything right. But I am pro-Israel. And these people are surrounded by terrorist groups all around them. And it is a hotbed over there. And I'm telling you, any day you can watch out, something big is going to happen. So why don't you join that been watching, been waiting, been fasting, and been longing, because you've been praying group. No church is exempt from these terrorist groups. You can spot them if you've been looking and been going. Would you turn to our Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And as a Christian, if you already are, join in the greatest exercise that you can do to bring a mighty change to this nation and have a mighty change in your life, because God is a God of power and might. He is a God of second chances. He is the God of the impossible. He is a God who extends His grace. He is a God who wants to forgive repentant sinners. He is a God who longs to give out mercy. He is a God that loved you so much He went to Calvary and died for you on the cross of Calvary. And don't look for Him in a tomb. He ain't there anymore. He's at the right hand of God. Because He loved you so much, He intercedes in your behalf. He gave His life for you. How in the world can anyone ignore that or turn their back on the greatest act of grace ever been done on this earth, even while we were yet sinners? Would you turn to Him today so you can join that group called the Been Praying group? Our hymn of invitation today is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 435. This altar is open for you as we sing. May we stand as we sing.